Welcome to Series 2, Episode 11 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the 11th episode of Season 2 of Encounter Points. I'm Bill Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Hellenius.
Last week we talked about holy cards, which are short texts that help build up our faith.
This week, Bill, I think we can go a bit deeper, like more than just a sentence at a time.
I agree. It's time to turn to longer, more profound texts. That's not to demean holy cards, but we're talking scripture here.
Well, hello, Bill. How are you this fine evening?
Very well, Ken. How are you?
Oh, I am finer than frog hair split 12 ways, which I know I've referred to before, but it remains excellently fine. Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks.
That's very good. I would say that you definitely have a way with words.
Oh, look at you leading us right in. So last week when we ended the conversation, we kind of reflected on the fact, and you even made this tremendously true assertion that words not only have meaning, but words are powerful.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, what better way to underscore that truth than to pick up the conversation here in episode 11 of series 2 on incarnational piety,
right,
than to discuss the power of words.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And specifically this idea of a wonderful tradition in the history of the church called Lectio Divina, divine reading. And so tonight's episode is called Lectio Divina and Lectures Divina. A title that a friend of mine named Bill came up with, which I enjoy.
Yeah, and it's basically born of my love of words, which I know you share.
Absolutely.
And perhaps also my evangelization-based belief that that's one of the many things that our Catholic faith can bring to the party in spreading some renewal to society at large, because it's a society that has perhaps stopped reading as much as it did. Or lost its appreciation of reading in many cases, even its appreciation of words and the power of words. So, boy, especially when you're talking about scriptures, the power of words in our spiritual growth is huge and fully to be studied and appreciated. So I'm glad that we're doing this episode.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really interested because, you know, I spent time in college at a Benedictine college, and the Benedictines being, of course, the order founded by and established by St. Benedict, and who lived 480 to 540, AD. So we're talking the first half of the first millennium of the church. And in his rule, he encouraged his monks to spend time every day with the sacred scriptures and to actually meditate upon them as part of their work of each day. And when I was then spent time as a Dominican, kind of discerning a vocation to the Dominicans, of course, the Dominicans are preachers by trade, and it's impossible to be an effective preacher without being entirely steeped in the Word of God, without being so familiar with it that it informs your every word. Your own, the words that come out of your mouth need to be related to the very Word of God.
Yeah.
And so we, as novices, we had every day as part of our assignment, as part of our daily rule of life, we had half an hour of time spent in prayer, in a specific form of prayer called Lectio Divina, divine reading, in which we spent time with the scriptures, reading a passage, reading it over and over again, and entering deeper and deeper into a relationship with it each time. And so, and this is a practice which I've continued as I've worked with RCIA groups and confirmation groups in the interim years, introducing people to the practice of Lectio Divina, this divine holy reading. And it is focused on the sacred scriptures. It's in an encounter with the Word of God,
right,
that is meant to break it open, but in a way that's very different than scripture study.
Yeah, it's not study, it's experience or...
Exactly, it's encounter.
Right? It's encounter.
It's encounter
word,
with
yes.
the living God who is, you know, when we think of Christ, Jesus Christ, as the Word made flesh.
Right.
And so the Word of God is not actually something printed on paper, but it is a person. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And to encounter the Lord, the Word of God, is to encounter Christ. And so in Lectio Divina, we read the printed word, but we ask the Holy Spirit to make it alive in our hearts and in our minds.
Yeah.
And so the basic practice is you take a passage, and it can be very short. It can be just a few verses. It can be you know, a parable. It could be what's called a pericope, which is a brief little portion of a chapter in the Gospels, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you read it once just to familiarize yourself with what the basic story is.
Right.
And then you read it again slowly, and you actually stop at words that capture your attention.
Beautiful.
And then you read it a third time. And this time you say, Lord, help me to understand what you are saying to me in here.
Yeah.
And then you actually read it a fourth time as well. And this time you stop at any word again.
Right.
And you may just stop right there and not continue.
Wow.
It, because what you're doing is you're unpacking it in your heart and in your mind.
Yeah.
The whole goal of Lectio Divina is to actually lead you to meditation.
Right.
Because meditation is the requisite, necessary stage to reach contemplation.
Oh.
And contemplation is when you actually are face to face with the Lord. You are actually in communication with the Lord that doesn't have words anymore. You've
wow.
moved beyond the word, and
yes.
you're actually face to face in a way that, you know, occasionally we get this when we're staring into the eyes of our lover, you know,
yes.
stare into the eyes of your bride, and you're not saying anything. You're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
And you realize time has disappeared. This is contemplation,
that's
and it
beautiful.
Takes place face to face with the Lord.
Yes.
And that's where we are so familiar with this story that we've entered into it. We've placed ourselves into this section of scripture that it is now inviting us to break it open in a way that is living and active
that's
for
wonderful.
Us. And I'm not even describing it well, to be honest. I mean, there's deep technical kind of things about Lectio. This is just my own experience that I'm describing.
Wow, it's a great experience.
Only rarely have I ever achieved contemplation
right.
through Lectio, but certainly deep meditation. And certainly there are passages that are very near and dear to my heart because I've spent time with them in Lectio.
Yeah. And certainly more Catholics need to even just make the approach, make the attempt at Lectio Divina to some part of that process through at least the most basic stages of sitting down quietly and you know, really lovingly approaching the Word, not out of some kind of technical study, but really for that purpose of encounter. I think that would change so many people's lives. It's all about building a relationship with the Lord, and that's the Word of the Lord right there.
Yeah. And you know, and an easy way to begin it is to take the scripture from Sunday, you know, at the Sunday gospel,
right,
and to spend time with that during the week leading up to Sunday, so that when you are sitting in Mass, it's not the first time you're hearing that gospel
yes.
passage. You've spent time with it. You've thought about it. You've prayed with it.
Yes.
So that when you hear it proclaimed in the context of the liturgy of the highest form of our worship, since all of our Christian life flows from the liturgy and points back to the Eucharistic liturgy.
Right.
You're hearing and encountering the Lord in a way that you're already prepared to do, you know?
Yes. Yes, that truly values the power of the word and is a form of thanksgiving for the gift of the word, the fact that you've prepared to receive it well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that idea. Is the idea transferable to the second part of the title that I proposed, namely Lectures Divina? And of course, I use that term very loosely and informally.
Sure.
But just from the kinds of experience that we've shared on college campuses, et cetera, where, you know, where we're blessed with being able to hear lectures and to oftentimes be on the receiving end of some great spiritual insights from others, it's not quite the same thing, certainly.
As right, because it's not an encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
which
right.
We get in Scripture.
One
right.
can hope that in a beautiful lecture setting with an attentive audience and a spiritually insightful speaker, that the Holy Spirit will definitely be there. But you're right, it's two different animals.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there is edifying reading, you know, essays, lectures, homilies, all of these edify us, lead us to into a deeper relationship. Yes.
Yeah.
But they are not blessed in the same way that the sacred scriptures are.
No,
there's no
right.
doubt, because that is an actual encounter with the Lord.
Yes,
because
it's the living,
you know,
word of God.
It's the living word. And it's, you know, as we say, you know, the Holy Spirit is spoken through the prophets.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're encountering the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Who is the animating principle of the Christian life.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So it's analogous, but it's a weak analogy to say that reading, you know, and reading the writings of a even a very learned holy professor is still going to be less than the sacred scriptures.
Yes. No, that's absolutely fair enough.
Many people, of course, are led to deep conversion in faith by reading The Seven Story Mountain by, you know,
exactly.
by Thomas
Lots
Merton.
Of great spiritual reading.
Of course.
Or
even, gosh, even reading Brideshead Revisited by Evelyn Waugh will lead people to conversion. You know, these things absolutely can work. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life too, right?
Exactly. The Spirit's going to work as he wishes. And indeed, I'm sure that people have been deeply moved and touched by the experiences of homilies and lectures on college campuses or elsewhere too. The well-chosen word, if you're receptive not only to the words as words, but to the Holy Spirit's possible action
prompting of
through
grace in your life.
Those words, that you're eager to receive the gifts of wisdom that somebody else has to share. And I guess the reason I wanted to tuck that in at the end of the title was because I think that that's kind of an evangelization approach that, again, we would do well to bear in mind and even to try to renew, that art of listening, that art of receiving the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as we might occasionally receive it through spiritual reading in general, and through the words of wise people, the good counsel of holy men and women, and just to appreciate what we're given when we're in conversation, and not to be islands unto ourselves, just kind of echo chambers feeding back our own thoughts to ourselves. That's
right.
That's kind of the opposite of Lectio Divina, isn't it?
Right.
It's a kind of perversity of Lectio
Divina. Nasal gaving. Navel gazing.
Navel gazing.
I like nasal gaving. Spoonerisms at the worst.
That would have something to do with breathing.
Nasal gaving.
We're going to work on that.
I don't really know what gaving is. You know, one of the things that, you know, mentioning that I was raised in a Benedictine college and stuff, what drew me when I visited the St. Meinrad for the first time, what impressed me was praying with the monks.
Yeah.
And praying in choir with the monks, morning and evening prayer.
Beautiful.
And of course, a vital part of morning and evening prayer and the liturgy of the hours, as it's known, is praying with the psalms.
Yes.
Praying the very prayer and songbook of ancient Israel, you know, forms the core of our morning, midday, evening prayer and night prayer in the liturgy of the hours. And I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And the Liturgy of the Hours is a way to encounter the sacred scriptures in a way that is the prayer of the church. So you are praying the liturgy.
That's right.
That really provides an incredible insight into our faith, into human nature. I mean, the Psalms are incredible.
They are.
All over the range of every human experience and emotion.
Yes.
Everything from Psalm 1, happy the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, all the way to Psalm 150, you know, which is a song of praise, you know, and everything in between.
Yeah.
Psalm 136, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, remembering Zion. The experience of people in exile. The Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Indeed.
All of it's there. And this is a common human experience. And in the Liturgy of the Hours, it's on a 4-week cycle that you repeat the same psalms.
Right.
But believe it or not, that does not get boring
in
any way.
That's
because
right.
Every time I encounter the psalm, I'm a different person.
Yes.
It's been 4 weeks since I last prayed the psalm. I'm in a new spot. I'm in a different place in my relationship with God, my relationship with my brothers and sisters that I'm sitting with here in the chapel, wherever it may be.
Yes.
This never gets old. This is an encounter with the Lord.
Yes.
And I loved it. And I continue to love it. I pray the office as often as I can.
Right.
And no longer do I need to try to figure out how the ribbons work in my breviary, because now we have devices that can help us pray the Liturgy of the Hours.
It's technology at its best.
Finally, this is what we have been waiting for.
Yes.
So I just want to say that the Liturgy of the Hours is, there are apps like iBreviary that you can get for iPhone and Android that are free, where you can pray the Liturgy of the Church, the Psalm book, and you can be doing the work of the people, which is what liturgy is, and encountering the sacred scriptures in a way that is going to lead you to a new relationship with God.
Yes.
And
who wouldn't want that?
And who doesn't want that?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And thinking of the roots of the Psalms, in many cases, it was David, a man after the Lord's own heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote those as music, as praying twice, as it were. Praying in music. And thinking that this was a very flawed, very
sinful
human
man.
Person,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But he was after God's own heart, and he was really in tune, no pun intended, with every aspect of life. And God had really put him in touch in a special way through the Holy Spirit, obviously, to speak, to write such words that have lasted all these centuries. It's awesome.
Oh, it's beautiful. So I want to strongly encourage you, take up and read, as they say.
Yes.
Toi et lege.
Right. And if you don't want to use the full Christian prayer, lectionary.
The hours,
There's the shorter Christian prayer, which I use for morning prayer, and then also there's we know other resources as well, right?
Yep. And well, there are links in the show notes, as we always like
very
to say,
good, right?
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I just love these things, and even the parts that are difficult. You know, we actually, in our Liturgy of the Hours, we don't even get the full Psalms because some of the verses which were considered psychologically difficult, as they said, were omitted in, they're called the imprecatory Psalms, those in which we, you know, they're really quite forward in saying, you know, there's a line in Psalm 136, again, that Psalm of Exile. O Babylon, destroyer, blessed are they who dash your children's head against the stone.
Oh my.
Now this is difficult.
Yeah.
Monks do not shy away. They did not leave out any verses, but in the common, most familiar form of the Liturgy of the Hours, we've left out some of these verses, the actual technical amount. We've left out three entire Psalms and additional verses from 19 others that blessed soon to be Saint Paul VI ordered removed from the breviary when we revised it after the Second Vatican Council. That's what you bring me in for, Bill.
Bring me in
for the technical details. Yeah. So we don't pray Psalm 57, 82, and 108 because we don't pray them as part of the Liturgy of the Hours. They are equally scripture.
Sure.
As every other bit is. It's just that rather than kind of put a stumbling block in the way of prayer, we set those aside. But there's some good stuff in there all the way through the Liturgy of the Hours. So please pray it. And
yes.
And you will encounter the Lord in a way that will lead you to a deeper relationship every day.
Yes. Yes. So,
I don't know that there's anywhere else to go, to be honest. I know we had other things that we thought about talking about, but by gum, I think that's good stuff right there.
I believe so. It's and it speaks to the power of the word. Sometimes the number of words we've thought of so far is just the right number.
There you go.
Makes the point. So please, God, may that be the case. And I know it impacted me, and I'm going to go home now and read those three Psalms that were omitted.
Awesome.
But they're all wonderful.
Yes. Well, see you next week.
Good
Bill.
To talk with you.
Thank you for joining us for our conversation. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.